When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and he's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And he's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church, where oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. We're going to get everything started off right today with some great worship and praise music by some of my favorite artists, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. It's called My Praise.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are. Till my praise to you
is like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a swarm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a sound for me. That's what I want my praise to be,
like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings.
Whatever
what I want my praise to be to you.
Everything I could give you already possess. Lord, I'm so unworthy, yeah. I'm just one of the millions to stand and confess, and yet still you hear me. Your heart is open wide, you long for what I bring. I pray somehow you'll find this simple offering.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a swarm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a sound for me. That's what I want my praise to be,
like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads.
Like a gentle rain plays a symphony. That's what I want my praise to be.
Like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings.
Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise to be.
Like an ocean
an eagle is one of the best birds in the world for just really taking advantage of the power of the wind. An eagle, when you watch an eagle fly, it's effortless. The eagle flies by catching the breeze, by catching the updrafts, and very seldom has to move its wings. The power of the eagle is leveraged by the power of the air. And this is the way we ought to live our lives. We come to God and we say, God, you made me as a human being with intelligence. You made me with the ability to do things for myself. But Lord, compared to you, I'm like a little child. You are so much more powerful than I. I'm like an eagle. You're like the air. I don't want to do this by myself. If you take an eagle and put him in the vacuum of space, he can't fly. An eagle requires air and cooperating with that air to fly. And that's how it should be with us. If you today are just sick and tired of trying to make your life work on your own, if you feel like that the best that you can do is just feeble and not enough, if you feel overwhelmed by the problems that you face, financial problems, relationship problems, the stresses of life, it is okay for you to say, Lord, compared to the problems I face, I feel inadequate, and compared with your power and intelligence, your knowledge of the future, you're brilliant, you're all-knowing, I feel like to you a little child. And Lord, I want to be a little child that runs to you to wrap my arms around you and for you to wrap your arms around me. I want my life to be a cooperative effort between you and me. I want to lean on you in total submission to your wisdom. I want to be like an eagle, that you are the air that my wings are riding on. That's the kind of relationship that God is looking for. Many people think God is some kind of mean tyrant type God who demands perfection from everyone. But God is looking to give you the help that you need if you'll just ask Him for it. Let's roll some more great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And this song fits right along with what I've been saying. It talks about how glad a person can be that God has saved them and how they just want to testify to the glory of God each and every day of their life.
What to say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now, that you would save me, Lord. I give all that I am to you, that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every step I take, Lord, that every day I can be a light unto the world.
Every day.
Say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now, that you would save me, Lord. I give all that I am to you, every day I can be a light that shines your name.
Every day it's you I live for.
Oh,
find yourself wishing that you could have a better relationship with God, or if you find yourself saying, I am nowhere with God right now and I want a relationship with God. If you find yourself saying, I feel lost, I know that I don't have salvation and I want salvation, and you're wondering, what steps do I need to take to move from where I am with no relationship with God or with a broken relationship with God to get to where I want to be, having confidence in my walk with God, having confidence in the Lord that He indeed is looking out for me, that He is going to save me in the last day, that He is going to help me in my life. I want to talk to you about walking through the narrow gate that Jesus said few people find, and walking on the narrow way that Jesus said few people walk. Jesus talked about being born again. Some translations say born from above. This is a second birth, a spiritual birth, or a rebirth, a new birth. This is completely other than your natural birth when you were born as an infant. Now, one of the best ways to think about this is to think about a caterpillar. This caterpillar starts off as a larva. This is his first birth. He comes into the world as a caterpillar. And then later, he has a second birth. According to instinct provided by God, he cocoons himself, and a metamorphosis takes place. And he changes from being a caterpillar without wings to being a butterfly that has wings. We're getting back to that thing of an eagle and its wings again. But if you can understand, the first time you were born with a sinful nature, a sinful curse that was passed on to you from your parents, and it was passed to them from their parents, all the way back from the first man and the first woman. Because Adam and Eve chose to sin in the garden, they passed the sin curse to their children and to their children's children. So you were born headed the wrong way. You were born with a nature or a compulsion to do the wrong thing. And you were born needing salvation. The way around that is to have a second birth. You were born the first time from a natural, earthly standpoint, pointed the wrong direction as far as spirituality goes. Now you need to be born from above. You need to have a second birth, a new birth, a rebirth. And Jesus explained that this new birth in John chapter 3, he said it involves being born of water and being born of spirit. Now, it's interesting that when we look in the book of Acts at the birthday of the church, we find lost people who needed salvation, who needed the Savior. The gospel was preached to them by the Apostle Peter, and he told them that the Messiah had come, that the Messiah had been crucified, and that the Messiah had risen from the dead. He said that the Lord God had made that same Jesus that they had crucified both Lord and Christ. He's both God and man, both Father and Son. He is both Lord and Messiah. And he told them that it was in the plan of God that it had to happen that way, and they responded by being convicted in their hearts and crying out, what shall we do? What do we need to do? And interestingly, the Apostle Peter preached to them basically three steps. The first thing he said is repent, which means turn back to God, turn away from sin. He said repent. And the second thing he said was, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive, and this is the third thing, the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Peter told them three steps, and the latter two of them involve water baptism, that's being born of water, and spirit baptism, that's being born of spirit. Now, if you want to read about these things, go to your Bible, John chapter 3. Read John chapter 3, Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. Read all of that. Understand it as best as you can. And then go and read the birthday of the church in the book of Acts, the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Read as much of it as you can. I'll tell you some chapters to focus on. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 22. read these things, and if you are looking for a church that will agree with you in getting your relationship with God back to what it needs to be, or getting a relationship with God started if you have none, I want to encourage you to look us up. You can find us on the web, Christian Apostolic Church. We're on the web at www.cac.us.com. That's cac.us.com. You can fire me an email at pastor@cac.us.com. It is not the will of God for you to be born again into the kingdom of God as a loner and then go through your life connected with Him only and not with other believers, in having a life that is you and God only and no life of involvement and interaction and belonging in the community of God's kingdom, the people who are fellow believers. It is the will of God for you to be born again and for that new birth experience to not only birth you into the kingdom of God and into a relationship with God, but for that same experience to birth you into a good local church where you can become part of the community of the redeemed. And that's really one of the key things that water baptism involves, is that it is a public act witnessed by the other believers that here I am, and I am being born into this church family as well as being born into the kingdom of God. Water baptism in the name of Jesus. This is how you put on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and put off the old lifestyle, the old deeds. When you repent, your old lifestyle dies, and then you take that old dead lifestyle, that lifestyle of sin, and you bury that old man of sin in a watery grave. Jesus went into the tomb, and when you go into the water for baptism, it is identifying with Jesus going into the tomb. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle to the church at Rome, that we are buried with Him. That is, buried with Jesus. We are buried with Him by baptism unto death. And the Apostle Paul explained that just as Jesus rose from the grave with new life, when we rise from those waters of baptism, we rise with new life. Repentance, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now let me talk to you about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the power that brings new life. In the beginning, when God was creating the universe, creating the heavens and the earth, the Bible says that everything, whether it was stars or creating light, creating the earth, creating the plants and the animals, all of these things were created by God simply speaking, and God's word caused His will to be accomplished. There's one scripture that said that God upholds all of these things by His word. But when it came to the creation of man, things were different. The Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the earth, and then God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. This manner of creation was not simply speaking the man into existence, but rather forming a body for the man and then breathing some of the eternal essence, the immortal essence of God, into that body. And this separates mankind from the rest of creation. But you understand that when God breathed into Adam, the same word for spirit is the same word for breath, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're talking about the Spirit of God being the spark of life that created Adam. And in the beginning, Adam was not created with a sin curse. He was created innocent and in a relationship with God. It was only when Adam, by the freedom granted to him by God, the freedom to choose right and wrong, the freedom to choose obedience or rebellion, the freedom to choose to continue the relationship or to end it, Adam chose to sin. Adam chose to disobey. Adam chose to rebel. Adam chose death. He chose to end the relationship. And in this choice, he brought a curse upon this wonderful breath of God that he had been given. He brought a curse upon his own human spirit and human body and human existence, human will and emotions and intellect. And that curse was passed all the way down to you and I when we were born. And if the breath of God was what could make Adam live and live right the first time, then it is going to take the breath of God for us to be restored to what God wants us to be in relationship with Him. The same breath of God's Spirit that caused Adam to be a living soul in the beginning can breathe upon you. The Spirit of God can be breathed into you. God can baptize you or fill you with His Spirit and cause you to go from being a human who is dead in sin and trespasses to being a human who is alive in Him. I've heard of people trying to preach a doctrine that says that salvation should not require receiving the Holy Ghost, that salvation can be provided by God without receiving the Holy Spirit. This, to me, is the antithesis of what the Scripture teaches, and it is a ludicrous and somewhat foolish doctrine. It's like saying, I can win the lottery without claiming the money. Okay, but why would you want to win the lottery without claiming the money? The whole purpose of Jesus dying in our place on the cross was so that His blood could wash us up and cleanse us and make us a fit temple for the Spirit of God to have a place to dwell. And for a person to say, no, I don't want the Spirit of God. I want to find some way of trying to claim salvation that doesn't involve me receiving the Spirit of God. To me, it just reeks of that rebellious independence of man that is so much needing to be changed in order for a man to be saved. Just as we don't want to win the lottery without claiming the money, we don't want to win salvation without claiming the payoff, which is the infilling of the Spirit of God. The baptism of the Spirit of God upon a repentant believer is the culmination of stepping through the narrow gate onto the narrow way. It is entering life after death. It is being born from above. It is being born again. Now, all three of these steps are steps by faith. They are done by faith. They are accomplished by faith. It is by faith in God that a person repents from their old lifestyle. It is by faith in God that a person is water baptized. And it is certainly by faith that a person claims the promise of the infilling of the Spirit. And it is only the faith of that person that pleases God and results in that outpouring of the Spirit. But as you notice that each of these faith steps, there is a degree involved. The turning of the heart can be done without the church being involved. And there is no immediate outpouring of the Spirit at just simply the moment of the turning of the heart. But then after the heart is turned, and when you think of the prodigal son being there where he was, starving to death and about to eat the pods that he was supposed to feed to the swine, and he finally had a change of heart. He finally came to his senses and said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will tell him that I've sinned and that I am only worthy to be a servant in his household, but it would be better to be a servant there than to be what I am here. Well, that's kind of like repentance, and you can make up your mind to get to God and to get to church and to turn your life around. You can make up your mind to do that by the grace of God. But then when it comes to actually getting to the house of the Lord and being accepted by that family of believers, the community of the redeemed, a new convert can't very well baptize himself. He can't very well just on his own join the community of the redeemed. This involves the cooperation of the church people, the cooperation of the minister and the other people to receive him into the community of faith. The church baptizes him. So, unlike the first step, the second step is a cooperative effort between the family of believers, the church, and the new convert. And then finally, in the same way that the church cooperates with the believer, in the second step, God Himself, in a very special way, cooperates with the believer in the third step by pouring out His Spirit, by infilling that repentant heart with His Spirit. Now surely God is cooperating with the believer as he comes to Him in every step, from the moment of allowing him the privilege of having faith, to the moment of allowing him the privilege of repenting and having a turn of heart, to the moment of allowing him the privilege of being baptized, and finally to the moment of allowing him, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious privilege of receiving the Holy Ghost. All of these things are done by the help of God and with the cooperation of God. But clearly you can see that there is a special time when the infilling of the Holy Ghost comes. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, the Bible says that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And with one accord they gave heed to what he preached. They saw the miracles and signs that were done, and they believed. The Bible says that they had this change of heart. History tells us that they brought out their occult books and their occult artifacts and had a big bonfire. And they believed, and then the scripture says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, chapter 8, the Bible tells us very clearly that at that point, even though they had believed, and even though there was great joy in the city, and even though they had been baptized, both men and women, in the name of Jesus, even though all of that had happened, the scripture says that the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen upon any of them. And so the apostles in Jerusalem were notified and dispatched a couple of the apostles to come, and they laid their hands upon them and prayed for them, and God confirmed the authority of the apostles and the veracity of their doctrine by showing a sign of power in that He timed the outpouring of His Spirit to coincide with the laying on of their hands. And when they laid their hands upon those Samaritan, repentant, heart-changed believers, the Spirit of God was poured into them, and this began a new day in that city and in their lives.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and He's not a man. He's Spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today, and He's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox, but there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church, where oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.